Hello and welcome to the Rembrandt Parables. I'm Tim Cooper. Pivotal moments. We've all had our share of them in our lifetimes. It was one such moment that would change Rembrandt's life forever. Please join me as we discover the secret behind one of Rembrandt's great loves in the story called Pivotal Moments. The moral of today's parable is found in Luke 10, 36 and 37. Jesus says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Pivotal moments of life are mysterious things. Some moments, like graduations and weddings, are eagerly anticipated. Other pivotal moments shake the foundations of our lives without warning. There are moments that remind us, for good or ill, that life is a grand adventure. Despite our elaborate plans, God has something else in mind. It was this type of moment, or more appropriately, chain of moments, that introduced Rembrandt Rempel to one of the greatest loves of his life. It was a Thursday morning in November after a deep snowfall. Natalie Hoekstra picked up Rembrandt on the way to university. The two carpooled together between Brantford and McMaster University in Hamilton. Natalie was a bright, attractive, and energetic young woman who was the opposite of Rembrandt in every possible way. She was a true country girl. The closest Rembrandt came to country was visiting Assiniboine Park in his hometown of Winnipeg. Natalie loved science. Rembrandt was an artist at heart. Natalie loved animals. Rembrandt once had a goldfish that died of neglect. That November morning started out as any other ordinary day. The sun was bright and the world under the fresh blanket of snow looked clean and inviting. Natalie was driving down their usual route towards their 8:30 classes. Without warning, her car was lifted off the road by a snowdrift. She tried desperately but unsuccessfully to regain control. In a moment of helpless terror, they slid off the road and into a ditch. Outside, the morning was bright and calm. Inside the car, their hearts pounded in their ears. "Are you okay?" asked Rembrandt. Natalie's hands were trembling as she clung to the steering wheel. A farmer nearby witnessed the accident and came to their aid. Slowly, the two emerged from the car unscathed. Before they knew what was happening, the farmer had connected a chain from his tractor to Natalie's car. The stunned students watched as the car emerged from the ditch back onto the road. "You kids all right?" asked the farmer. "I think so," said Rembrandt. After accepting their sincere thanks, the farmer went on his way. Rembrandt and Natalie were left alone on the snow-covered road. Natalie stared blankly at her car. "Can you?" she asked. "Can you drive?" Rembrandt found himself attracted by her vulnerability. "Sure," he said. "We'll take it easy." The rest of the trip was uneventful until they arrived into town. They crested a large hill to discover a car on the side of the road, resting against the curb. An elderly man was standing beside the car, looking helpless. What caught their attention was that the car was facing the wrong way. Normally Rembrandt would pass by, too busy to take notice. This morning was different. He and Natalie understood full well how precarious the conditions were. The other motorists weren't so forgiving. They were blaring their horns in disdain. Rembrandt pulled up to the distressed man and turned on his hazard lights. The man's face lit up with hope. Thank you," he said. "My battery's dead." "We have jumper cables," said Natalie. Rembrandt was impressed how knowledgeable she was with cars. In no time, she had his car boosted and running. "Thank you so very much," he said as he reached for his wallet. Before he could pull out a bill, both Rembrandt and Natalie refused. The grateful man would not be dissuaded. "Please," he said, "it's cold. Buy yourselves a coffee." He placed the bill firmly in Rembrandt's palm. Once again, Rembrandt and Natalie resumed their journey. "How much did he give you?" asked Natalie. $5, said Rembrandt. To university students, $5 is a small fortune. He told us to buy ourselves a coffee, added Rembrandt. Should we? We're already late, and it would be rude to refuse an old man's request. That's true, it would be rude, she said. I agree, concluded Rembrandt, as he pulled into the nearest Morton's coffee pub. There's just one thing, he said. What's that? Asked Natalie. Rembrandt gave a sheepish look. I've never tried coffee. Oh, said Natalie, somewhat surprised. Well, there's always a first time. But don't try it black. I suggest a medium double-double. Two cream, two sugar. Rembrandt fell in love with the elixir immediately. It would become part of his daily routine from that day forward. Several years later, as Rembrandt wiped the counter, working at a Morton's coffee pub, he struggled to place his finger on what it was that ignited his love of coffee. It is, after all, just a drink. Perhaps it had to do with that snowy November morning, the gratitude he felt for the farmer who helped them on their way, or the gratitude of the elderly man they helped in kind. Perhaps it was the opportunity to share the morning with a good friend. Whatever it was, coffee became more than a drink. It would shape many of his most cherished memories. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoyed this parable. Please let me encourage you to rate this parable in the iTunes store. Your comments are appreciated. In the meantime, may all your lives be blessed.